At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Trump-endorsed MAGA extremist Bernie Moreno says he wants to move Ohio forward. He wants to make America great again. For whom? For people of color? For black people? Nah, Moreno is just looking out for himself and his white supremacist MAGA buddies. He doesn't believe in multicultural America and equality for all. Moreno was not for us and will never look out for us. We must re-elect Sherrod Brown, who's a champion for our community and all Ohioans. Vote for Sherrod Brown, November 5th.
Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
You're listening to Broncos for Breakfast with Nick Kendall and Scott Kennedy.
All right, well, the good vibes are back on, everyone. Gosh, talking about how everybody is sick in the house, then my computer, StreamYard, whatever it was, decided to kill it. But we're back. Good. Everyone, drop a thumbs up. That way I know that you're here with me as well. And hopefully it sticks going here. I had all my tabs open and everything for the show. And of course, then it completely dies on me. So, man, not a best start to the morning, maybe a little bit of a clunky start, just like the Broncos yesterday. Obviously, Broncos on the third play of the game. You have little Jordan Humphrey with a fumble, and the Panthers march down the field, quickly score a touchdown. Patrick Surtain cooked on the line of scrimmage. I mean, beaten definitely by Leggett, a rookie wide receiver from the South Carolina Gamecocks. And after that, it's all Broncos, baby. The rest of the game, Denver just did pretty much what they wanted to. Now, obviously, some areas that need to be improved upon, especially now that Denver is going to have their toughest three-game stretch of the entire season. We're going to find out about this team these next three games, everybody. But, yeah, the Broncos are obviously victorious, 28-14, and feeling good. Things are clubbed up, bumping again in the Broncos locker room. And Denver is, back of the winning race. This is the best they've been this far in the season since 2016. I believe NFL.com has the Broncos playoff probability at 64% right now. It is going to be a fun second half of the season. Now, obviously 64%, Denver has a lot of work still to do, but like yesterday, almost every single matchup as far as Broncos wild card perspective goes, went Denver's way. Really, you are in a really good spot going forward here. You have, obviously, it'd be great if the Giants could beat the Steelers tonight. I won't hold my breath for that. But you have the Eagles beating the Bengals. That's good. You have the Texans beating the Colts. Texans probably going to win the South. Colts now 4-4. That's good. You have the Dolphins losing to the Cardinals now. You have the Patriots beating the Jets. You have, unfortunately, the Chargers won. That's one that did not go the Broncos' way. Really just a lot of good games for Denver as far as the wild card perspective goes. So Denver is in a good spot right now with the fifth seed if the season were to end today. But make no mistake about it, a lot is going to change still. We still have half the season to go. And the Broncos have a difficult second half of the season, and it starts next week at Baltimore. But for now, it's Monday morning. If you guys have Baltimore long big picture questions, drop a super chat, but we do want to reflect on Broncos 28-14 victory. David Youngkin coming in here says, morning, happy victory Monday. Since we are 5-3, the Broncos make moves at the trade deadline or be like last season and fade out. I'm not sure. Denver right now still seems like a team that could go either direction. I wrote a couple articles yesterday. We had Deanna Rossini of The Athletic report that the 49ers are very interested in DJ Jones. Maybe DeForest Buckner as well. So looking to bring some former 49ers back potentially. It would have to be a decent move for me to want to move off of DJ Jones. Not that Jones is, a superstar player or anything, but he's a big part of a really good defense. And the Broncos' weakest aspect of the defense is without a doubt their run defense. And DJ Jones is a important piece for that. So it would have to be a good piece back. And also Ian Rappaport put out a tweet yesterday saying that, the names of Baron Browning and Jonathan Cooper could be floated out there as well. So again, it would take a decent return, a substantial return for me to be interested if I was in charge of the Broncos, because why take away, even though it's a short-term view, you're still hunting for the playoffs this year. And there's a lot of value in making the playoffs, even if this isn't a Super Bowl or bust contention kind of team, a lot of value of making the playoffs. So it would take a very good return for me to be interested and pick up the phone or stay on the phone for any of those guys. But yeah, we'll see what happens. Denver's probably looking at running back, wide receiver, and everything else there. But yeah, we will see what happens there with the Broncos. Sorry, I got an error message now. Hopefully you guys are still with me. Wow, God, man. Doing it solo makes the issues with the technology much more substantial. Jasmine coming in, says, my faves, Nick and Scott. Well, just your fave, Nick, today. But Scott's doing some charity golf stuff. He'll be back Wednesday. We got Perry West coming in with a super chat. Thank you so much. He says, great outcome. Receivers need to stop the mistakes. Catch and hold on to the football. Finally, a really good passing game. Yeah, and I know that you could look at it both ways. Like, oh, it's just the Panthers. They're a dreadful team. But, like, Bo Nix was really good in this game. I think the biggest factor for the Broncos in this game is that Bo Nix really was hardly threatened in terms of pass rush. Like, the Broncos, even though he did take two sacks, one of them was definitely – at least one of them was definitely on Nix, and it was a one that he's going to get, I'm sure, chewed out in the film review because it took points directly off the board, taking a very big sack taking him out of field goal range. But you can make those kind of mistakes against the Panthers, not the next 3 weeks. So something to work on for sure. But yeah, easily Nix's best passing game. He did not look flustered at all. His base and his pocket presence seemed to be much more comfortable, less jittery, and it resulted in much better accuracy throwing the football. So was really good to see. And yeah, I mean, what 4 touchdown game, under 300 yards, but super efficient. I think he was like 21 for 23 in the first half as well. Only 10 pass attempts in the second half. I mean, this was far and away his best game, and he looked legit out there. It was just the Panthers. It's still an NFL team, and Denver, he was making throws that would translate versus any opponent. So, and if you guys have been following along with me, I was not a big Nix guy coming to the draft. I've been not critical, but even with my analysis for Nix, I'm not making excuse after excuse for him. It's always with a caveat that, you know, he's a rookie. The offense around him, as Sean Payton likes to say, not always painting the best picture, specifically in terms of the playmakers. But overall, it's a great game from Nix, and we can keep talking about it as well. But, I mean, Broncos country's got to feel good. A win and your rookie quarterback looking that good with the home stretch coming down now, the second half of the season, feeling very good. Look, the Broncos looking very good. You know who also is always making us look very good? Manscaped. Hey, everyone, this episode is brought to you by Manscaped, the global leader in men's lifestyle and grooming. Every man knows the unbeatable feeling of a fresh barbershop shave. Now, what if I told you that you no longer have to wait weeks or even months between appointments to experience it? Introducing Manscaped's newest innovation, the Chairman Pro Electric Foil Shaver, a game-changing tool that brings the luxury of a professional shave right into your home. Whether you're after that daily silky smooth or prefer to maintain a rugged 5 o'clock shadow, the Chairman Pro Electric Foil Shaver is your go-to for precision and style every time. Head over to manscaped.com and join the 11 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by using our code HUDDLE for 20% off and free shipping. To get the Chairman Pro today and experience a shave that is smooth as you deserve, get 20% off plus free shipping with our code HUDDLE at manscaped.com. Again, that's 20% off and free shipping with our code HUDDLE at manscaped.com. So now that's out of the way, I'm really glad that we don't have to be talking about shaving other things. You know, I typically got the 5 o'clock shadow going, so I appreciate Manscaped for supporting us. Jason says, happy Monday. Been nice to enjoy a couple blowout wins. Yeah, Broncos beating up on some bad teams, but no excuses for that, man. It's the NFL. You play who's in front of you. It's not just Denver who's getting powder puff matchups, right? Every other team get a chance to play the Panthers and the Saints, and Denver's doing what teams are supposed to do, taking care of bad opponents. That has not been the case. I mean, even just last season, the Broncos lose to the Commanders. They lose to the Patriots. They lose twice to the Raiders. I mean, I think there was another team that picked top 10 Denver lost to last season. Last season, Denver was not beating the teams they were supposed to. Now, granted, you have the games beating the Chiefs, beating the Bills, the Vikings, et cetera, et cetera. It's going to happen sometime like that. But a good step forward for the Broncos in terms of the culture and the consistency, taking care of teams they're supposed to. Bookmeister, good morning, big dogs. Feels great to be on the feels great. It has been a long time since Broncos country has felt this way. Not even sure what to do with my hands right now. Talladega Nights reference, love it. We got Chase Wellner in the house. Great to see you. Davey, yeah, hopefully everybody's doing well. Yeah, sick. No baby crying right now, so that's good. Broncos, we will pay the Ravens back for that playoff loss. I think they already did pay the Ravens back for that playoff loss to a certain extent. That was the Peyton Manning 7-touchdown game, right? Yeah, it's going to be pretty awesome to see that game in a real measuring stick game. I saw Denver is a 9.5-point underdog going into that game. So Vegas doesn't believe in the Broncos, and almost it's a little unfortunate that Baltimore's coming off of a loss last week because they're going to be reinvigorated, I am sure. But yeah, it's going to be a tough game for Denver. And unfortunately, if Denver's defense is weak anywhere, it's the run game. And this is the number one, I believe the number one rushing attack in football in terms of efficiency coming into this week. So we'll see what happens with that game. Back, we got Mark in here. Good to see you. Good morning. Thank you so much for the super chat, the coffee. I'll drink to that. Since I'm running solo today and baby was up six times within 4 hours last night, I'm probably on 3 hours of sleep right now. I'm going to give myself a coffee sip with Mark. If you guys want to drop more super chats for coffee sips, I appreciate that. Oh my God, it's hot. Woo. Okay. Wow. Okay. Thank you so much, Mark. Good to see you. We got Todd Ostendorf in the house. What happened with J.C. Horn? J.C. Horn came over to Sean Payton. Obviously, Joe Horn played under Sean Payton for a number of years out there in New Orleans, his father. But he accused Sean Payton of running up the score. And quite frankly, it looked like Sean was running up the score. But it's the NFL. You don't want them to score on you? Then stop them. I don't know, man. That's my opinion. You things happen out there. So I don't know. It's the NFL. No, we're back, Jason. We're here. We're doing well. I hope you're doing well. Good to see everybody in here letting me know that we're back as well, loud and clear. Yeah, dealing with adversity. It's, this week is starting off with some adversity, unfortunately. But yeah, getting back into it. Really, really impressive win for the Broncos because, let's be honest, they did not play a clean game by any means. Bo Nix, honestly, might have been your best player out there, but the run defense wasn't phenomenal. Not enough run stuffs. Chuba Hubbard was finding daylight. Some missed tackles out there as well from the Broncos. Moss and Surtain getting beaten a few times. So not a perfect game. And then on offense, I mean, outside of Bo Nix and the pass protection, I thought that it wasn't a really great game from the offense overall. Great to see Cortland Sutton get 100 yards. Can't fumble it at the end, as Sean Payton mentioned in his press conference. We can talk about that too. But Lil Jordan Humphrey, Marvin Mims, Troy Franklin. I mean, golden opportunity for a lot of these guys. And right now they are leaving us wanting. So I don't know if Denver is going to make a move for a receiver. I think probably a lot of that might depend on if they beat Baltimore or not in this upcoming game. If they do, and you're sitting there at 6-3, then you maybe make that move to, you know, go for it. Cause top five defense, top five special teams, offense is probably still a year or two away, but you know, windows are windows, right? And defenses tend to fluctuate wildly. I mean, two of the top five defenses in football last season, maybe even three of the top five, were like Dallas, New Orleans, and the Patriots. And they're like all bottom 10 defenses this year. So defense is volatile year to year. And if you have a top five defense this season, might be an argument to be a little bit aggressive and go for it, even if you do have a rookie quarterback. Mr. Roush coming in says, first game yesterday, had a blast. Need better play calling for runs involving Williams. Need to spread the field. Go Broncos. Yeah, thank you, Mr. Roush. I don't know what happened yesterday. I'd have to go back and look at the box count numbers. But, yeah, not a good game from the Broncos running backs outside of Joe McLaughlin. McLaughlin had a good game, but Williams, coming off that awesome New Orleans game, looked pretty darn bad. And we'll see what the numbers say. But I know entering this game against the Panthers, the Broncos, I believe, had the second most difficult running back schedule the second half of the season going forward. So things are going to get tough for the Broncos run game. Luckily, I think they go from like the 10th toughest to the 21st toughest in terms of quarterback passing game difficulty going forward. But yeah, Denver will need to run the ball a little bit better than they did. Unfortunately, they're coming up against some pretty darn good run defenses coming up here. Let's just pull up with the not the Falcons. Broncos should be able to run against the Falcons. But the, let me see, here we go here. If it'll load for me, you have the number four rushing EPA per, play defense in the Chiefs and the number five rushing EPA per play defense in the Ravens. So yeah, it's going to be hard, tough sledding, as they say out there. for the Broncos and the run game. But hopefully that's something that they can get a little bit better get more run stuff. So I think that was my big frustration yesterday, is that there was not enough. I think they allowed too high of a success rate against the run, and Denver just didn't feel like there was a lot of third and longs for the Panthers overall. They were able to string together some drives and go for it on fourth down, and they stopped them on fourth down every time but one, maybe. But overall, the rush success rate stuff is going to be interesting for the Broncos in this upcoming game, no doubt. But overall, I mean, they did enough, right? They didn't give up the explosive run, so that's a big one. And two turnovers also, so good to see. Unfortunately, not emphatically winning the turnover battle in this one. Denver 4-2. I mean, I guess that's pretty darn good. But the two fumbles from the receivers leave a bad taste in your mouth. And I don't think anybody, if anybody disagrees with that, just listen to Sean Payton after the game. He's more pissed about it than me. Jasmine coming in with a super sticker. Thank you so much, Jasmine. I cannot see what it is. You'll have to describe it for me in the chat, but appreciate you. Love the little conversation about how much you hate the Falcons yesterday because your husband. That's going to be fun. I'm curious to see if you guys have a little bet or something for that game coming up here in a couple weeks. We got Miguel coming in too. Excuse me, guys. I need to blow my nose for a second, of course. We're back. Miguel says, good morning, Nick, and Broncos country. How's the defense, the Ravens defense, compared to other D's the Broncos have faced? The Ravens have been really good up front. They have a pretty good defensive line. Jason Owe, who is in his fourth year, is having a career year to start. And they have a really good defensive tackle named Travis Jones, who they took in the third round in the subsequent draft, who looks like one of the better emerging run defensive linemen in football. So they're troublesome, but the Ravens are vulnerable on the back end. I'm not sure if the stats will bear out the same, but I know entering this week, they were one of the worst defenses in football in giving up explosive plays. Roquan Smith has not been very great for them this season. And they are not the unbelievable Ravens defense we've seen in past. Now, they're still good, don't get me wrong, and they're really good at making you one-dimensional. They make it so you have to beat them with a pass. So overall, it's a fine defense from the Ravens. They're one of the top, we talked about already, top four in stopping the run, but they've been bad against the pass this season. Let's see what the data bears out here as far as the EPA per play. Now, this is obviously the entire sample size for the season, so it's not weighted on more recent performances. So it could have been a little better as of late, but they are the 28th defense in the NFL in terms of EPA per pass given up. So vulnerable through the air. We'll see what happens there. Hopefully it's going to get a little bit better going forward. We appreciate everyone coming in. Yeah, hope baby's okay. Yeah, he's got a fever and don't know if he's sick yet, but a baby, we got a notification on Friday from daycare that one of the babies has croup. So praying to God it's not that. Wife is also sick, so pray that I can stay healthy. Goodness gracious. Keeping it back here, though, the Broncos. Yeah, Bo Nix's best game by far. I don't know if it'll be afforded the same opportunity the next 2 weeks we'll have because the Panthers, not the Panthers, the Ravens and the Chiefs do a pretty good job at getting after the quarterback. They are Ravens especially vulnerable on the back end. I think they were number one in the NFL and giving up explosive passes. But you're not going to face many more anemic pass rushes as we saw this past week versus the Panthers. I think we will see one in 2 weeks against the Falcons because they can't rush the passer worth anything. But Denver, these next few games, I'm not expecting to have the same clean pocket from Bo Nix. Now, maybe this game against the Panthers can springboard him. I mean, I've said after we took Bo Nix, first eight games, whatever they are, we can evaluate them for what they are, but I'm not going to make too much grand sweeping projections based on these first eight games because he's just getting his feet wet. The speed of the game, what it takes to be a professional. And we're not going to get too high or not too low again from this game. Just because Bo Nix looked great against the Panthers doesn't mean Denver has a future perennial top 10 quarterback. But we can't evaluate the game for what it was. He played great. He protected the football. And this had to be his best game this season pushing the ball as well. I know that there are some deep throws missed. And I think the ones that went beyond 25 air yards, he was 0-for-3. Not completely his fault. Obviously, I think honestly two of the three should have been completed. You had the Marvin Mims one where he didn't turn around. Now, granted, probably tackled and the half's over there. But, I mean, where you at, Mims? Ball's coming to you. Where's that field awareness? What the hell? You know, second-round pick, not looking like that. You had Franklin, who missed another one that just went through his hands. I mean, if they were playing basketball, that's a three-pointer, right? Woo, deep shot through the hoop. Can't have that. And then there was one that was like 50 air yards to Cortland Sutton down the middle that wasn't there. But I think overall, the passes that went from 10-plus air yards to 25 air yards, that intermediate passing, easily Bo Nix's best game of his career. So is that going to be replicable against teams that have better pass rush? We'll see. But if he plays like that, I mean, Denver can hang with anybody with the defense and special teams. So hopefully we'll get some more of that. Yeah, they were dialed in and connecting. And I mean, considering, you know, the overall aspect of this roster, you know, the most dead cap, all these missing top 100 picks because of Sean Payton trade and everything, Denver is getting it done and getting the best bang for their buck. I think almost out of any team in the NFL, obviously, I mean, 5-3 and looking feisty for the playoffs. So that's great. Bang for their buck for sure. You know what else is a great bang for their buck? Mint Mobile. With big wireless providers, what you see is never what you get. Somewhere between the store and your first month's bill, the price you thought you were going to pay magically skyrockets. With Mint Mobile, you'll never have to worry about those gotchas ever again. When Mint Mobile says $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan, they mean it. Say bye to your overpriced wireless monthly bills and unexpected overages. To get this new customer offer in your new three-month premium wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/huddle. That's mintmobile.com/huddle. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/huddle. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on a first three-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on a limited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. Now that the business is out of the way, everyone appreciates you hanging along. Yeah, Denver's definitely got some tough ones coming up here. Yeah, Keith mentions Hubbard, 15 yards, 53 yards per play, 15 carries for 56 yards. I'll take it. Yeah, it was an okay game. Again, I wish Denver was a little bit better in the run stuffs department. Overall, I mean, Chuba, not as much of a lashing as what we saw the Commanders give the run game last week for the Panthers, but Denver definitely did enough in that one to take care of business. And yeah, overall pretty good game. Let me see, what do we have here for the Panthers? Yeah, Chuba Hubbard, success rate of 33%, EPA per play of -0.18, so not great from them. First down on just 13% of his carries, but better game than Javonte Williams, who has -0.32 EPA per play, 22% success rate, and just 6% of his carries for first downs. So, and Denver did enough, and we're going to find out about this run defense the next 3 weeks. We're talking enough about, you know, the offense and the tough defenses coming forward, but you also have unbelievably difficult matchups coming up for the Broncos in terms of the defense. And I'll probably write an article at some point coming up here, but these next 3 games are going to really give the Broncos defense a chance to either cement themselves as a special defense and a potentially special season, or a very, very good defense in a season, but not special. So we'll still see how that plays out, but yeah, just looking ahead here, the next 3 games, obviously do want to still, circle back on this, this Carolina game, but I'm now still starting to look ahead as well. But the best offenses in football right now, EPA per play, you have Baltimore at number 2, Falcons at number 9, Chiefs at 10. So obviously 3 top 10 offenses coming up here. That'll be interesting to follow, without a doubt. Success rate, you have the Chiefs, the number 1 success rate, number 1 success rate offense in football. The Baltimore Ravens at number 2, the Falcons at 7. So 3 top 7 offenses in terms of efficiency. The dropback EPA, Baltimore's number 2, Falcons at 10. And then the rushing offense, you got Baltimore at 4, Kansas City at 8, Falcons at 13 for EPA per play. So we're going to find out about this defense. Denver enters. We still have tonight's games left. It's Pittsburgh versus the Giants. So I guess there's a chance that Pittsburgh has a, you know, 3 defensive touchdown game and jumps the Broncos. But for now, Denver is the number 1 EPA per play defense in football. That can change. Obviously, that can change with these next ones. So we'll see what happens. These are, like I said, Denver's a 9 5.5 underdog going to Baltimore. It's pretty, I'm really bummed that you have to play Baltimore and then Kansas City. I wish we had like Baltimore this week and then Carolina and then the Chiefs, because Baltimore is going to bruise and batter you up front. And if there's any area of the Broncos that are vulnerable on defense, it is the run defense. They're closer to the middle of the pack against the run than they are far and away the number one pass offense, number one pass defense in the NFL. So we'll see what happens. But overall, a good game from Denver. I thought some standouts. Obviously, I want to give a shout out to Nick Benito. He had a really good game out there. Got his sixth sack in a row. So six games in a row. Tyus Von Miller, I think, for the third longest sack streak in Broncos history. So hopefully we can keep that up. Lamar is a different type of contest along with Derrick Henry in the backfield. So I'd be very curious to see what Denver's plan is for next week, because that's a very difficult tandem. But, you know, this, if you want to be where the Broncos want to be, you got to beat teams like this or at least compete. So we'll find out for sure. As far as the Broncos go in this one, I mean, they dominated overall. Total first downs, 23-16. Denver going 11-17 on third down. 11-17 on third down, guys. That has to be the best they've had this season. Maybe the best in multiple seasons. 65%. It goes 12-18 if you include fourth down as well. Denver going 4-5 in the red zone, 3-3 in goal to go. I mean, this is a great performance from Bo Nix. There's no other way to slice it. 400 total yards. The rushing wasn't great. Only 3.2 yards per carry. Now, granted, some of that is Panthers knowing you're going to run in the second half and taking it away. But yeah, good job from them overall. And 7.3 yards per pass attempt. So really great for Denver. Really great. And this was the first game all season, where I thought that Bo Nix wasn't just a passenger on the vehicle that was the Broncos to a win. He went out there and he was, along with the defense, the main reason. You won this game because of what Bo Nix was doing out there. So, again, that's not to take away what he did before. Sometimes all you need to do, a lot of quarterbacking is just, you know, driving the vehicle, not being the vehicle itself. So this was a game where Nix was great, above and beyond. Four total touchdowns on the day, the rushing touchdown as well, played smart, protect the football. My only complaint was that sack he took on first watch, on broadcast view, the sack he took in the first half or second drive or whatever it was that took him out of field goal range. That was frustrating. And against a worse team, that could hurt you. But we're picking nits at that point. So I'm going to wrap it up here pretty soon, guys, just because, you know, it is a short game and I got to go take care of sick wife and sick baby. So if you got any supers or anything, get it in here. I did want to give a few more shout outs in this game. We obviously have Jaquan McMillan with the unbelievably gorgeous interception at the goal line. What a play from him. Pretty underrated player. He's not the most physical kind of, you know, run, come downhill, booming nickel in the NFL. So that's something to watch, especially against the Ravens next week, because they're going to isolate your nickel in space in the run game against Henry or Lamar. So McMillan, big game for you, buddy, coming up. But great game from him. Good to see Pat Surtain back out there. I haven't heard anything about his ankle just yet, but that's one that you're going to need him this upcoming week just so you can allocate more bodies to the box to try to stop the run. So it's like, well, why does he matter? You know, because it's going to be more about stopping the run and everything. Well, Lamar's killing it, passing the ball too, and definitely the MVP of the league through the first half of the season. But you need Moss and Surtain and McMillan and Brandon Jones and all those guys to play great football, because you need bodies up front to clog the run lanes and keep Lamar contained. So it's going to be a very interesting game, no doubt. I also, double-edged sword on this one, really happy to see Courtland Sutton get out there and have his first 100-yard game in, I think, two seasons. Good game from Sutton overall. He had the great pass as well, right? I mean, trick play there at the end. I can kind of understand why the Panthers were upset a little bit, but Sutton getting 11 targets after zero official targets last week, eight receptions, 100 yards, and frustrating to see him have that fumble at the goal line and kind of point at himself, say, my bad, and then Sean Payton in the postgame immediately after saying you can't have guys just saying my bad with fumbles. Sounded like a direct shot at Little Jordan Humphrey and Cortland Sutton. He said, if you can't have guys who can hold on to the football, we'll get some other guys in here. So that's going to be a storyline worth watching. I don't think Denver's going to be trading off any of their pass catchers. I don't know which pass catchers actually would bring back much value right now either. But that is something to watch for the Broncos going forward. You know, you got to protect the football. They're just putting it on the turf way too often. So I'm going to have to watch for that. Also on the defense, wanted to give, you know, Zach Allen credit. I thought he had himself a heck of a game. And something for the Broncos as well. I don't have the ability to get the single game data from this one, but getting the tight ends involved in National Tight End Day, something that this offense has sorely lacked. Kroll, we'll see what's up with him. I thought he got back in the game after his injury on the fake field goal attempt, but I'm not sure. But we're going to watch for Kroll's injury status come Wednesday. Troutman with the best game of his career, not his career, but the season, without a doubt. 4 targets, 4 receptions for 85 yards and a touchdown. You love to see it. And also Nate Atkins, special team standout, third safety, H-back, fullback, tight end, not safety, tight end, third tight end, H-back, fullback, whatever you want to call him, kind of a do-it-all guy, really useful guy to have on your roster, especially the special teams ability. He gets a touchdown reception, a good play from Nix as well. So, yeah, overall, I mean, not too many complaints from Broncos' perspective on this one. I thought that the fumbles were unacceptable from Denver. They got to protect the football, and that's something that, you know, Sean Payton, he's an old ball coach. He came in. This was a game that he goes out there. We're going to see better offenses than this going forward. We wish he would have closed out a little bit better. And then talking about the painting a picture better about Nix being better around Bo Nix and the receivers holding on to the football. This is exactly what you love as an old ball coach. You have Denver winning a game decisively, never really in doubt. I mean, even when they fumbled and the Panthers scored early, I'm like, Denver's still going to steamroll them. I just don't think through 60 minutes, the Panthers are going to be able to hang. And that came true very, very quickly in the second quarter there. I think it was the second quarter where Denver put on 21 points, but I digressed. The Broncos have a lot to clean up. As Victor Rios says, tackling is horrible. Tackling has to be better next week. You had mistakes out there from your receivers putting the ball on the turf and some errors overall, personal foul penalties, et cetera, et cetera. So the Broncos have a lot to work on still. And this was not a clean game. Denver honestly probably should have won like 40-3. Both of the Carolina's touchdowns came directly off of fumbles. So points off turnovers are huge. Another point of emphasis. So great for the old ball coach. You win a game convincingly. Seems like everyone's healthy. We'll see about that. We'll follow Sertan's ankle, and we'll see if Locke is back this week. I know he hurt something. I can't remember what it was in practice, but he might not be back this week. And also following Kroll's injury as well. But a little bit of sloppiness from the Broncos. He still won one decisively. You love to see that, and there's plenty to work on. So really happy about that. Overall, good game from the Broncos. Pass rush got out there. I thought Browning and Cooper, despite I don't think either of them notched a sack, both of them looked like they were making plays out there, impactful, getting after the quarterback with some pressures. And want to give a shout-out to the special teams as well on this one. I thought Denver did pretty darn well there with the kick game. I thought Dixon in his 3 punts, averaging 51 yards per punt. He did have one that was a touchback, so that was unfortunate, bounced in the end zone. But he had 2 of his 3 punts inside the 20 and 60 yard long. So shout out to Dixon and the punt team. They did pretty darn good in that one. Let's 4 for 4 with extra points, you know, whatever. But shout out to Dixon. I thought other than that, the touchback, which was a little disappointing after the other punts he had, but he had a pretty darn good game too. So always have to give the special teams shout out. And I don't typically, you know, give out game balls after the game. But this one has to be, if we don't give one to the tight ends, you know, just the tight end room in general, Denver with the worst tight end production in the NFL coming into this game and to have 2 tight end touchdowns was great to see. But this is Bo Nix's best game of his career. And again, I don't expect this to be baseline going forward because progression is not linear and also progression is not guaranteed. But this was, without a doubt, his best game. He looked comfortable. He was throwing the ball with aggression down the field while also still protecting it. So that's something we want to see going forward. So really exciting to see not Bo looking just to evacuate clean pockets and looking to push the ball vertically. So things do get tough from here for the Broncos schedule. Obviously the next three games are going to be just incredibly difficult for Denver. They have to go 1-2. I mean, really, if you go 0-3, you're sitting there at 5-6. I don't love your chances. I mean, things do kind of clear up again after that, but I mean, do they? Browns look pretty competent with Jameis Winston back there. You got them week 13. You got a Colts team who knows, at Chargers, at Bengals, and then Kansas City. I mean, if you want to make the playoffs, you need to take care of things going forward here again in these next games. I'm not expecting 3-0. 1-2 is not the end of the world. You go 2-1. I mean, the world is your oyster here, but one at a time. Got a tough game against the Ravens, who are beatable. They are beatable. And we'll have more time to talk about the defense and the offensive game plan for the Ravens on Wednesday as well. But overall, you know, shout out to Bo Nix. Shout out to the defense. Shout out to special teams. This was an emphatic win. The Broncos covered as well, so should have won by even more than this, but they still covered despite some of the miscues. And, yeah, kind of a weird game. You know, some trick plays here and there late. I'm not sure why Sean Payton was wanting to really step on the throat so much and embarrass the Panthers as much as he did. But who knows? You know, they're professionals out there. You don't like it, stop it. So it's it is what it is. But appreciate everyone coming in here. Shout out to our sponsors, of course, Manscaped and Mint Mobile as well. And shout out to all of our Super Chat givers today. Perry West, Mark Schrader, Mr. Roush, Jasmine, Miguel Santa-Steven. If I missed anybody, please let me know. We got Michael Ronquillo always, of course, always coming in and supporting us over on the Facebook side of things too. So shout out to everybody. Hope everyone has a healthy rest of their week. Gosh, it's going to be a sick word over here again, but we'll see what happens going forward. And yeah, Denver, 5-3. Bo Nix's best game coming off of two relatively easy games. This is a much better team than I thought they were going to be. And shout out to the players, shout out to the front office, shout out to the coaches. They've been pretty easy to, you know, explain away why this isn't a very good team. All the lack of top 100 picks, the dead cap, trying to dig your way out of Russell Wilson mistakes from the trade and the contract. But here you are. Are you as good in a one-game playoff setting as the Ravens, Chiefs, or Bills in the AFC? No. I mean, Vegas doesn't think so. Look at the 9.5 point spread against Baltimore. But you got a chance to change the narrative here. And Denver sitting there at the fifth seed. I mean, are they substantially worse than any of those other three teams in the AFC right now? I think if you're doing power rankings, I think you have to put the Bills, Ravens, and Chiefs in their own category. Fine. Denver's going to get a chance to prove me wrong on that and say that they should be there. That's great. That's all you want. But the Texans, their offensive line is bad, and their defense outside the two pass rushers has not been ideal. CJ Stroud's unbelievable, though. But Broncos in a one game against the Texans, they got a chance, man, especially the way the defense is playing. Chargers already beat us, but I'm excited for another chance against the Chargers. Other than that, I mean, who really? Pittsburgh, give me another chance against the Pittsburgh Steelers, too. I'd love that. Be a rock fight for sure, but give us a chance in the playoffs against Russell Wilson. Hell yeah. NFL schedule makers or whoever, the people who write the script, get that one on there. Appreciate everyone. I'm going to get on out of here. Make sure you're following myself on Twitter at Nick Kendall MHH. Also follow us at Mile High Huddle. If you haven't done so yet, we're at facebook.com/Mile High Huddle and facebook.com/Mile High Huddle Pod. Follow us on there. And subscribe, like, and share over on YouTube. You guys have a great rest of your week. It's good to have Denver 5-3, two-game winning streak. Bleep gets real now. Yeah, I bleep myself there. At Baltimore, at Kansas City, Falcons. We're going to find out, right? Is this team a year away? Is this team now? I'm excited. We're going to find out. Choose kindness and compassion. Have a great rest of your Monday, guys. Go Broncos.
Trump-endorsed MAGA extremist Bernie Moreno says he wants to move Ohio forward. He wants to make America great again. For whom? For people of color? For black people? Nah. Moreno is just looking out for himself and his white supremacist MAGA buddies. He doesn't believe in multicultural America and equality for all. His own company has a long history of being sued for discrimination. He even called for reparations for white people and is firmly against inclusion and diversity programs. If elected, Moreno will rubber stamp Trump's radical 2025 and roll back policies that'll directly harm black families, our finances, jobs, social security, and health care. And he'll turn back the clock on our civil rights. Moreno thinks white supremacy will make America great again. Real talk, Moreno was not for us and will never look out for us. We must re-elect Sherrod Brown, who's a champion for our community and all Ohioans. Vote to secure your rights and your future. Vote for Sherrod Brown, November 5th.
Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.